I really want to know who's printing his constitution. Next on Principles and Policies. Welcome to today's edition of Principles and Policies. I'm your host, Barry Sheets, the Executive Director of the Institute for Principles and Policy. And along with me today is our co-host, the Vice Chairman of the Institute, my fellow analyst and very good friend, Chuck Michaels.
Good to be with you. You're wondering who wrote his constitution. I'm wondering what Bible he's reading.
Okay, well, yeah, that's probably a pretty good question. Ladies and gentlemen, the person that we're contemplating is Democratic Senator Jeff Merkley from the state of Oregon. Yes, he is a United States Senator, ladies and gentlemen, and he got in the news here recently over the last week or so because of some comments that he made during the Democratic National Committee's presidential convention. Now, we know that there's a lot of things that went on in that convention. They took God's name out of the platform. They put it back in. They didn't recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. Then they recognized it. I guess, Chuck, for that time period when they voted not to recognize it, did it cease to exist?
Well, some people think in those terms, but the fact is that Israel's capital is Jerusalem de facto.
Yeah, exactly.
And de jure.
Well,
The fact that the United States doesn't necessarily recognize it doesn't change the fact that the capital of Israel is in Jerusalem.
Well, and the point is that we can talk about Merkley here in a second, but I really have to go into this because this has been on my mind, and even when we did an earlier program on this whole thing, this dust-up with the Democratic platform, let's not make too big of a mountain out of this molehill. I mean, first and foremost, like I said, Jerusalem is the capital of Israel, regardless of whether the Democrats want to recognize it as such or not. Barack Obama's not God, and he can't change the laws of the universe in relation to that. The second thing is, and I've seen it from many, many conservative commentators, and even from a certain presidential campaign, which will remain nameless on this program, how horrible it was that the Democrats took God out of their platform. Well, Chuck, do you realize that it's only one reference in the Democratic platform, and it really had nothing to do with a recognition of the Almighty?
Yeah, I think that's true.
Because here is what the quote was. The platform, and this is this whole idea about they took God out of the platform, this is the quote that got put back into the platform. Quote, "We need a government that stands up for the hopes, values, and interests of working people, and gives everyone willing to work hard the chance to make the most of their God-given potential." Okay, Chuck, I'm sorry, but if they would have just said to make the most of their potential, it wouldn't really have changed much of anything, because a good number of the Democratic delegates are militant atheists. They don't believe in God to start with, just as a number of the Republicans who, oh, you know, they've got dozens of references to God in their platform, many of them ignore the platform entirely or are hostile to God as well.
Absolutely. I can think of a couple of big pundits that people are kowtow to that are essentially either agnostic or atheist. And there's no doubt about that. A big deal was made about a young and upcoming young woman who has been basically beat around pretty badly by the Democrats by the name of S.E. Cupp, who is a self-proclaimed atheist. So, okay, again, this goes into that definition of conservative versus Christian versus constitutionalist, or versus Christian constitutionalist, which you and I call ourselves. This is why I don't consider myself a conservative, because all a conservative does is basically preserve the bad things that have already happened and say, well, this far and no further, except the line always ends up going further.
Yeah, it always ends up moving, but they just wanted to move a little slower. But that's my whole point. Yeah, that's eating at me, ladies and gentlemen. Ever since this whole thing dusted up over the last week with the Democratic convention, was, okay, yes, the Republicans are going to use it to carry a meme to start saying, oh, the Democrats are godless. Well, the point is, they took God out of, well, you know what, they put him back in, but it doesn't matter because the reference that they were using really was just basically a hat tip, vague hat tip, mind you, Chuck, to the Declaration of Independence that says that we are endowed by our Creator with certain inalienable rights. So that was just a slight hat tip that they actually believe that the Declaration of Independence is actually one of our organic laws of the land, our governing document. Though I think if you pressed them on that, it'd be like Nancy Pelosi. She'd be like, oh, well, the Declaration, well, what does that mean? you know, what does that have to do with governance? But that's so, I wanted to get that off my chest to start off the program, ladies and gentlemen. So I'm sorry if I feel like I'm like crabbing, but I'm crabbing a little bit because I'm getting tired of hearing how all horrible and aghast all of the social conservative and the supposedly Christian conservatives are upset about the Democrats took God out of the platform. Okay, let me ask any of those people, do you really believe that the Democrats have God in their platform for any real depth of purpose, such as adhering to the fact that he is the sovereign God of the universe, that his law is absolute, that his word is inerrant and true, and that they are responsible to it? Well, I guess I could ask the same question of the Republican platform too, Chuck, and I'd probably get the same answer.
And you beat me to it because I was about to interrupt and say, yes, and please show me where the Republicans take the same viewpoint. And the answer is they don't.
Yeah, they don't. So, I guess I'm just getting it out because I'm frustrated by this because I'm getting mailers and email blasts and everybody wringing their hands over this. And it's like, okay, guys, they didn't really have God in the platform to start with. So why are you making a big deal out of it?
Well, what's interesting is I'm getting people on both sides of the political aisle who are sending me things who think that I'm a conservative and not a Christian constitutionalist, who are whining about the horrible theocrats who are about to seize control of the United States government if Mitt Romney gets elected. And the furthest thing I'm worried about from Mitt Romney is a theocracy.
Well, if you study some background of Mormon theology, you might have a little to worry about, but not much.
Well, okay, yes, I agree with you. And my argument with people, and this always confuses them, we're already a theocracy.
Well, that's true. We are, because theocracy means the governance by God. And ultimately, ladies and gentlemen, Romans 13:1 is still in the Bible, and it's still true that all the powers are there because God chooses them to be there.
Right.
And that God grants them the power to be a civil authority.
Well, I don't have the proverb. I think it's in Psalms. It's in Psalms, pardon me. But I don't know the reference, but the heart of the king is in the hands of the Lord.
And he directed with us wherever he will, like the streams of water. Actually, it is in the Proverbs. I'll look that up while we're going through this.
Which I should know because I spent 10 weeks teaching the teaching Proverbs and in church about 6 months ago. So that Proverbs is one of those things that just can't teach them in 10 weeks.
Well, one of the things I like to keep on my shelf next to my microphone, Chuck, both my Constitution and my Bible, and I did find it in my Bible. It's Proverbs 21:1. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord as the rivers of water. He turneth it whithersoever it pleaseth him.
Yeah.
So God controls all this, ladies and gentlemen. And kind of, I'll let you go on with your point, don't you?
No, but the question then is, do we have the right to vote for just any old buddy because the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord?
Well, you see, you have to understand something, too, is not only is the heart of the king in the hand of the Lord, but we're supposed to be in the hand of the Lord as well, and we're supposed to be doing certain things. I think Christ said that you will love me and obey my commands. And part of his commands are choosing from among ourselves wise rulers who fear God, who are trustworthy, who hate covetousness, who are basically worthy of being elevated to a position of a civil magistrate authority. In other words, as Romans 13 says, to be ministers of God. That word minister is used very specifically in Romans 13, and we can't really get into that, but that's maybe a little bit too deep for a Friday afternoon.
Yeah, people are awfully tired driving home at 5:30 on a Friday.
Yeah, well, but the key is that we're talking about going back around to Senator Merkley, Jeff Merkley, Democrat from Oregon, who basically, again, Chuck, I want to know who prints his Constitution and his Bible, because obviously there's some typos in it, or else ours are all wrong. And I'm guessing that all of ours are not wrong. His has probably got a typo in it.
Well, this is simply doublespeak, Orwellian doublespeak. Basically, Merkley, when asked, quote unquote, after the dust-up regarding the platform last night, would you agree that with the Declaration of Independence that all rights are God-given? And Merkley answers, quote, well, I must say it fits my personal belief, yes.
Oh, Merkley, there's an interesting spin.
Yes.
He can't even answer the straight question. Yeah, the Declaration does say all rights are God-given. No, that fits my personal belief. He doesn't want to offend anybody, Charles.
Okay, but then the question is asked of Merkley, would that include some of the more controversial rights, considered rights, like abortion and same-sex marriage? CNS Newscom followed up. Merkley said, quote, let's talk about the Constitution on same-sex marriage, Merkley said. It says full equality under the law. That means the right to marry whoever you love. I ran for the Senate on a platform of full marriage equality. The people of Oregon supported me in that, and I will continue to fight for that.
Huh?
Yeah. Now,
I'm sorry, I didn't see that when it said all men are created equal and are endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these rights are life, liberty, pursuit of happiness. That must be what he means, Chuck. That's what it means. Pursuit of happiness means the right to marry whoever you love, right?
Yeah. And it's interesting that some of the commentators on this article noticed that as well. And the question is then asked, well, what if I'm in love with the twins next door? Do I get to marry them both?
Maybe in California, but not here.
Not yet.
Not yet. That's right.
That may be coming. But the fact is, Barry, think about this. Is same-sex marriage, it rights come from God, which Merkley basically says they do.
Right.
Where is the right to marry a person of the same sex in the Bible? Which is where we get, is the word of God, and where we get where our rights are.
That's a good question, Chuck. I'm assuming in his Bible it's somewhere in the law, second book of First Hominomines, I think.
Yes. You know, well, here's where it's not. Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, which are the books of the law, mostly Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. It ain't in there. In fact, the direct prohibition of such things is in there. Now, this is the kind of really double speak and double think that is only impressive to those who don't know the Constitution or don't know the Bible or both.
I would say the probably answer onto that one is both.
Because the fact that a homosexual does have an equal right under the law to marry. But since marriage is defined specifically as the union between a man and a woman, he does not face any kind of marriage inequality. The fact that he wants to marry, for instance, a male might want to marry another male, or a female might want to marry a female. I'm sorry, you can get married, you just can't marry someone of the same sex.
That's right.
So how is this inequality under the law? Now, homosexuals say that we're playing with the words and we're making the words do dances. No, we're not. You are. You are attempting to redefine what the word marriage means. The word marriage comes predefined by God. It's an institution he developed, and it is the permanent union of a man and a woman in a family relationship, period. There's no same-sex marriage. There's no polygamous marriage. And people point to the Bible and say, well, there's polygamy in the Bible. And I always say, please point to a case, a single case, where it ever worked out positively and where God ever sanctioned it with absolute happiness throughout and blessed it. There isn't a single one in the Bible. All of them are disasters. Every polygamous marriage is a disaster. In fact, in the case of Solomon, he had 700 wives and concubines. This destroyed the kingdom.
Yes, it did.
Because what happened was all these women came in. A lot of them he married for political purposes. But it didn't matter. He had all these women, and to please them, he began to syncretize some of their beliefs in with the belief of the one true God in Israel and the ceremonies. And the nation immediately became corrupt.
Yes, it did.
Now, you look at Esau and Jacob. Esau became the father of Israel's enemies, and we still suffer the consequences of Abraham's sin and Isaac's sin in this multiple wife thing. So the fact is, it doesn't work. And this idea that because apparently in Merkley's view, this, well, shall we say, interesting interpretation of constitutional law regarding equality under the law trumps the Bible. Well, Barry, I'm sorry to tell him this, but it's the other way around. The Bible, if the Bible and the Constitution are at loggerheads, the Bible wins. And that's the only way for a constitutionalist to look at it.
Always.
That's the only way we can look at it as constitutionalists. Now, guess what?
We're out of time.
We are out of time.
Of course. Well, I guess that maybe we need to send Senator Merkley a invitation to take our next Institute on the Constitution course so that he can learn both what the Bible says and what the Constitution actually says.
Well, we can try that on for size. I don't predict success.
Well, nothing ventured, nothing gained, right?
All right, join us again tomorrow for another Principles and Policies.